You've heard it. You've heard about it. And now it's here. It is the Whip Around Micro Edition.
Tiny.
I am not tiny. I am Sean. That is not tiny. He is
Phil.
And she is not tiny. She is
Jill.
Although all of us have some tiny in us, I'm sure, I guess, sort of,
nope.
Kind of.
Nope.
Some part of us is that goonish character from cartoons. This is indeed the micro edition of the Whip Around, so that you, listeners and citizens out there, can share the Whip Around, share the wealth, say, hey, listen to this amazing podcast, you're going to love it. I don't know, I think it goes a little long. It does not. Not this one. Check it out. It's a half hour. You're going to get everything that we normally do on the show, just compacted for your listening and enjoyment pleasure. And again, we want you to evangelize this. Take it out. Spread the word of the Whip Around. So, with that being said, it is down to business here. We all want to say thank you to Steve Bost and Steel Trap Trivia, the bartenders,
thanks,
the staff, everybody involved, for the Rubrics, golf clap for you, for having us. We hope everybody who could go went, and everybody who went had a good time. And hey, we said we would do this. We totally will.
Yep, no shame.
Some people were indeed smarter. Asterisk. Then the Whip Around podcast. Some people did defeat our score, so we wanted to say a hearty congrats to the Lehigh Valley Beer Run Club, the hashtag alternative facts team featuring lines like maybe she's born with it, maybe it's lies, and coming to trivia was a choice, the infamous team under the stairs.
Our old rivals.
Yeah. All of whom managed this time to get lucky in beating the Whip Around's score this
past
Wednesday.
Well done, everybody. Well done.
Mostly because I couldn't contribute, I'm sure. That had to be it. It was a blast. Three asterisks on that one. It was a total blast. Had a lot of fun. I can't be beaten. That's all I'm saying. Also, special shout out to We've Got Worms, a brand new team that was down there with my favorite reference of the entire night. From what movie, Jill? We've Got Worms. Well, in the movie, it's I've Got Worms.
Oh.
I didn't get it either.
Tremors.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. It's Dumb and Dumber. That is Dumb and Dumber. That is Lloyd Christmas. I got worms.
I don't remember
the name of his. It's going to be the name of the worm farm. Anyway, I don't know if you guys are ever going to go back to trivia. We've got worms.
You should.
But we'd love to know that your sense of humor found a home with the Whip Around. We really hope that you have decided maybe to check us out. And for anybody out there who decided to, stick around. But not winning trivia does not mean that we are without smarts, of course. We've even got ourselves a scientist right here. Phil, are you ready to bust out some micro segment?
Science! Still matters, damn it. So.
I like that you're going fast on that, even though I have to stop with the sound cues. Fantastic.
Too bad. Okay, so here's the science. Basically, Stanford researchers invented gaydar. Any questions?
What?
Yeah, what?
No, I'm not kidding about this. To a point. Okay.
Oh, okay.
To
How
a point.
How does it work?
Gaydar to a point, or you're kidding to a point?
No, gaydar to a point. All right, so here's the title of the article that was published. The scientific paper is way more descriptive than the actual clickbait article that I followed to get there.
Which is scientists found gaydar.
More or less. But what are they doing is the idea. So they're using existing facial recognition software that's already out there that's free available to anybody to use and program to do what they want. And they fed it 35,000 pictures off of dating websites that were available for use and had self-identified as either gay or straight, and then let it loose on other pictures. And it is way better than just regular people at guessing whether someone is straight or gay.
How accurate?
Okay, regular, fair. Regular people, 61% for men, 54% for women. The algorithm, 81% for men, 71% for women. And if you feed it 5 pictures of the same person instead, 91% for men, 83% for women.
Wait, what?
Way better than a human.
So it's not necessarily fooled if you just go, well, here are 5 of the same pictures.
No, that's what I'm saying, is if you give it 5 pictures of the same person, it's 91% accurate as opposed to 81.
Hypothetically speaking, doesn't that technically also kind of, sort of, not really mean if you feed it 5 pictures of yourself, it'll tell you 20, 40, 60, 80, 100 what percent gay you might be?
I hadn't thought about it.
As long as they're stretching logic.
I mean, what the hell? I mean, they haven't tried it that way.
I wonder what percentage of gay I am.
I find this to be fascinating, like, because I'd want to know, like, how did they... Obviously, I know they went by people who self-identify.
Right,
but...
which is a limitation in the study that
the
authors mentioned, right? They didn't...
Yeah.
They didn't... Now, they mentioned in the... If you ever read a scientific paper, please read the author's notes.
She will not.
We'll put the paper in the show notes, but also look at the author's notes.
Let's also put the clickbaity in there too to see.
Yeah, what the hell? Yeah.
Send us your pictures, by the way. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. The reason that this was done was because companies are already doing this, so they wanted to, for various reasons, that they're using facial recognition. So they said, let me see if this is a possibility, so that way we can warn people that it's a possibility before it becomes a problem, so that way maybe we can push some policy, maybe we can push some thought about this before it becomes widespread and used for nefarious purposes.
So it does sound like a technology that the United States and others would only use for good.
Yeah, well, they weren't sure if it could be done, and they were actually kind of scared to realize that it could be.
Can it fit into a bakery?
Right.
Yes.
Although I wonder if, like, for people like me who don't fall into either of those, if it's like, if the machine's like, did not compute.
Well, that's the thing, is it's a limitation.
Get her out.
Well, they really admit that these are limitations of the study, that it was only self-identified, and that it's not perfectly accurate, and that they excluded bisexual identifiers in there.
Pansexual.
And that's possible. I mean, again, they didn't
clear
that up.
Gender is a journey. Prints out this dot matrix printer.
Yeah.
Well, Phil.
But I mean, that's science. Still matters, damn it.
And that leads us already, can you believe it, to our first break for the micro whip around. We'll be right back. Jill, why don't you hum us out here?
Nailed it.
Okay, Phil.
Yeah, Sean, what's up?
Let's do this commercial in ASMR and hypnotize people into liking us and talking to us online.
Whip around.
Sensual.
Contact.
Textures.
Pictures.
Instagram.
Follow.
Facebook.
140 characters.
Old Twitter.
Email
thewhiparound@gmail.com.
Obsession.
My feet. To the show.
Hey, thanks for coming on this date with me to the Cheesecake Factory. I honestly, there was no other option because I have a gift card. And I refuse to go anywhere else. Okay, if you threw out another option, I'd be like, listen, no. Going to the motherfucking Cheesecake Factory. So I'm glad. I'm glad we're here. Oh, wait, if you listen to the bread, by the way. They just give you bread here. It's pretty wild. It's just free bread. This fancy restaurant, themed restaurant. Just listen to it. Wow.
Now that, ladies and gentlemen, is comedian and huge risk taker Brandon Wardell, who has a full comedy album set to come out on June 1st of this year. And evidently, the entire album will be delivered in a deliberately paced, soft-spoken, whisper-quality tone that has a huge presence on the internet. He's fusing comedy, for good or ill, with autonomous sensory meridian response, better known, or perhaps fiercely debated whilst being hugely loved and often vilified, as ASMR. Which is a perfect subject for a micro episode. We got to move fast. Let's all relax. Some call it pseudoscience. Some call it the only possible way they can relax. And a few, check YouTube on this for yourself, by the way, make a tidy living whispering, tapping, brushing, role-playing ever so softly into recording equipment. And we are here in a micro edition to unpack this perplexing, soothing, silky, strange case. So first things first, my ills.
Yep.
In a micro fashion. Let's take turns here, just the two of you, though, defining this thing as you understand it. Remembering that the clock is micro-ticking, micro-hosts, what is ASMR?
My definition would be essentially being, I know you hate this word, but triggered into a sense and state of relaxation via soft-spoken or whispered voices and actions and calming attitudes to a viewer.
calming attitudes. Phil?
It's whispered soft sounds that are akin to white noise that people like to listen to. And I'm going to stop there.
Which, you know what? Let's pull the thread. Let's unravel this sweater, which is, by the way, always a Friday the 13th reference I keep making. Let's unravel this sweater so that I'm so that I'm vulnerable again. Jason's mom, terrible lady. I don't know if you're aware. It's a funny thing. It's a lot of fun. Camp Crystal Lake.
Hysterical.
Go, check it out. Phil.
Send your kids there this
Phil,
summer.
Let's pull this thread, sure. Right? Who, by the way, Phil is back in regular rotation. Some micro news for you now that the summer hours are upon us. Cast that scientific eye on this phenomenon for us, Phil. I see pseudosciences popping up in a lot of stuff. I guess the real question, is there any science backing up the this texture scraping, brushing, and the like, particularly for some voices rather than others are ready for this, to do this, or able to do this, and for some ears that are ready?
Well, that's what's interesting. And at first blush, it had hallmarks of like viral trend and mass hysteria. Like, oh, I have those symptoms too. Oh, my goodness. I get
mass
the same
relaxing hysteria.
Dogs and cats chilling together. And it's only been around since about 2010, this term. And it's not clinically defined. So that's the problem. It also smacks of something that I see as a magician, which is I can't explain why I like this. So I better make up, or I can't explain it. So therefore, I make up a reason to explain it. It's up his sleeve.
Let's just pull this rabbit right out of the hat here. And then we'll just wave it around and presto.
Wave the rabbit around by the ears. They love it. and plus, giving it a name allows people to talk about it. So you name it. But for me, also, I thought about the fact that I have a white noise app on my phone. It's not people whispering, but it's like sounds of the ocean and things like that. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's not just a bunch of people going, or it's very convincing.
That
I know of.
We're going to blow on Phil's ear right now. Just
stay away from my ears. So, and also quiet. Total silence is very disconcerting to a lot of people. So it's kind of, I see the appeal. If you're sitting around alone for a long series of time, it's kind of nice to have company. But the thing is, I'm not saying it's a thing, but I'm not sure if it is a thing that it's any different than white noise. The article that we sent around to each other to get the discussion going before the show was from the Smithsonian, and they cite the study that was done, and it's got some shortcomings, and all science should admit its shortcomings. Ideally, I'd like to see a double-blind study done. Like, you don't know the subject, you don't know what they're being, what sound is being pumped into the fMRI, and then study the brain effects.
I like the implication that maybe one of these like 10 people who are going through this test will just have their head thud on the desk.
It's possible. But I mean, it may be a thing. It may be akin to synesthesia in some people. But right now, given what's out there, the science, I just don't know that it's any different than white noise. I'm not going to say I don't see the appeal. I get it. But I don't know that it's its own thing.
Yeah, you're focusing on the science and those sort of almost gibberishy words in there.
There's a couple of funky.
What does that mean? Let me change gears, though, because we're micro edition here. Jill, you have a history with ASMR.
Yes.
Y'all go way back, right?
Way back.
ASMR is a boo for you.
Yes.
I don't know. I guess you say you partake in these videos. You listen to the videos or the audio or whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
Could you talk about your history and experience with these things? Maybe respond to Phil as science. You know, Phil is the avatar of science here.
She's an actual with your, experience.
Yeah, with
so
your
you,
thoughts but, sort of contrasting with the science of it. Well, here's some legitimate life experience with years. First of all, how long have you been encountering these? How long have you been partaking?
Partaking in the video, watching the videos about 6 years, but experiencing it my entire life.
Okay. Can you sort of talk about that?
Sure. So as a kid, I mean, all through my life, there's been times when, especially going to the doctor or getting my hair cut, having someone work on me, essentially, like cutting my hair, or at the doctor, having kind of someone talk to me in a reassuring, soft way, for some reason, has always triggered, not all, every time, but many times, goosebumps from my head, kind of all around the crown of my head and neck region. And then sometimes, depending on the person's voice or how close they are to my ear, it'll actually like impact a nerve that essentially runs the whole length of my body. So
sciatica.
But it's not painful. No, it's not painful at all. And so it's a pleasant feeling, and it's not, it's just something that's relaxing. Sometimes it doesn't work, and it's just, hey, this is a really relaxing voice. And so that kind of lulls me to sleep. And I think for a lot of people, that's where they kind of come into ASMR. But I do think that there's other people like me where other times I get the actual sensation and I get goosebumps, but not all over my body, but like around my head area. And it, in the ASMR community, we call them tingles. And
oh boy, she's in the community.
Isn't that a, isn't that the slang term for self-identified ASMR people is tinglehead?
Yeah, single okay. head. Yep.
Goodness gracious. That's Bill like did when his research. That's like He's when atheists are supposed scientist. To call themselves brights. Like it's that's
really?
That's sort of like ugh.
Yeah, so it's that's been my history with it. But I listen to them about pretty much every night or every other night.
Is this something that you utilize for the purposes of relaxation, sleep, both?
Both.
Okay.
Both. I usually end up asleep, so it's usually something I do at night.
Now, Phil, you, can I – what?
Don't you also partake as
just
well?
Just so everybody knows, in this micro edition, Phil is scowling and pointing at me
I'm
saying,
not.
You.
I'm tossing the ball
He's
to
the
you.
The black eye, the black eye doesn't the help.
The black eye? I know. The black eye. Phil has a black eye. No time to explain.
Phil's got a shiner because he asked too many questions.
Well, don't
me,
you also?
I have some. Yeah. I want to save a bit of that for later, but I have listened. I get less of the physiological. I don't get goosebumps, but I remember, too, being at the optometrist when they said, like, is it number one or number two? Number one or number two? Number two or number three? I never wanted it to end, and I never quite knew why.
No wonder your glasses are horrible.
Well, yes, you can't even see them. I had them shoot lasers in my face instead. But there was something about the sonorous quality and the proximity and the softness that I never really thought of much until, I don't know, maybe a year or two ago when I discovered these, because I sleep worse every year. And these things. So I used to listen to, like Phil, ocean sounds, white noise, stuff like that. I still can, and for reasons that will become more apparent later, I often still do now. But there was especially a brief window where ASMR videos were helping me to sleep. But we'll circle around that to a little bit later in this micro edition. So here's where shit might get a little bit more real. Reaching back to an earlier discussion, Jill was actually here for this when we were talking to Ward Van Hout, the director-curator of the Bethlehem House Art Gallery. We were talking about where art and pornography move toward one another, where those Venn diagrams...
I'll know it when I see
overlap
it.
Overlap. Yeah, well, and what we discussed, of course, was it has a lot to do with creative expression, specifically intention to evoke an arousal, to bring to mind sex or sexuality. And that is the primary and really the only purpose behind that expression. I'm paraphrasing a little, but
that makes sense.
That's the gist of what we talked about. And I'm curious, and I want to start with Jill here, I think, but I want to hear from both of you. Where does this relate to pornography? Is there anything in your experience or from hearing anyone talk that there is actual arousal from this, or is it wholly separate? Because we talked about goosebumps. We're talking about sensuality. I'm not suggesting that you guys are into this, or Jill specifically is into this for, you know, licentious purposes. But where does this rest in that world? Are there some videos that are like that out there? Because I honestly don't know.
I mean, I would imagine that at some point there are, but I don't know that they're – just because I think that the way humans are is that
What's
someone's
the
going to –
The internet rule? 34.
Rule 34.
Okay.
Someone's going to exploit it for that purpose because at the end of the day, it is someone, and they are usually attractive people, mostly young women, who – like I always watch Gentle Whispering, Maria –
She's the most.
I mean,
she's like the Meryl Streep of whispering.
Yeah, she has well over
microphones.
Yeah, well over a million followers.
Not quite with the LED stands, but that's a lot.
It's a lot for what's considered a real niche. And she is very beautiful, and so she's talking to you very softly, and she's being very loving towards
it
you.
Is
that
to me. She's talking
could see.
To me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I could see how someone could get arousal from it, but that's not the purpose of it. So again, if you're someone who likes your partner to talk in your ear softly. I mean, sure, I could see how that would happen, but that's not what they're necessarily designed for. That's not their purpose. So I always feel like I have to defend them.
Okay. Phil, you want to respond really quickly
to
that?
Yeah. First, to both of you guys, it makes sense what you were saying about your experiences. Of course, it's nice to have something reassuring in that sound. It sounds like a white noise effect to me. The tingling is interesting. I mean, that's something I can't explain, and I'd be interested to see how it happens in a study. Mm. I do think, as Jill points out, and when I looked up ASMR videos, because I'm not part of that community, I'm not a tinglehead.
Would you stop?
I had to.
We should make up our own name for it.
Send it in to our Facebook page. Feel free to comment. I do think that some people do take advantage of the fact that some people are going to fetishize certain things, because I looked, and Jill's right. A lot of the people who are doing these videos are very pretty. And by the way, for an auditory medium, it's kind of funny that they're using videos in some cases, especially when the girls are very pretty.
Well, there isn't as popular a thing, I don't think, unless you would count podcasts for doing this strictly as an auditory.
Yeah.
Although they do take advantage of that visual dimension.
And if you're giving personal attention, you kind of need the visual element.
Oh, then you do get that. Okay, sure. Fair.
Now, let me just throw this out to sort of put a cap on this part of the conversation. Jill, do you have a sense that, like, I see that one, there's a video that says relaxation, sleep, help, whatever. It has just as many views. There's a male who's doing it and just as many. It seems the same. There's a female doing it. Do you have one that you will tend to gravitate more? Is it a lack of males that makes you gravitate toward females? Or are you like, no, let me keep with the females in these videos?
Like every aspect of my life, Sean. I like both.
Like, I'm not trying to serve you up too much.
No, but I do. I mean, I'll listen to both. It kind of depends on what mood I'm in and depends on the male's voice. Although I gravitate more towards women for it because their voices are more soothing. But there are a couple guys where I'm like, oh my gosh, his voice is amazing.
Okay. Phil, same idea. I know you're not as experienced with this. Now, maybe I'll add a bit. There's so little time, but I want to add a slight twist of the screw here.
Sure.
If you were to get into a video of this, will it make you feel in terms of, okay, it's almost like being at a massage parlor? Is that how you would feel? Like, man masseuse, female masseuse, and are you going to want to pick one?
Not really. But
you
then
don't
again,
have a preference.
But the thing is, for me, voices aren't things that tend to soothe me.
Okay.
But that's my preference. I'm going to go for the pretty one, which means, unlike Jill, I'm going to go for the
women. Some men are
pretty.
Look, maybe some pretty men have been in front of you this whole time.
And I just never saw you there.
Put my glasses back on, you shiner. You and your shiner. Now I know why you got it. So here's my hunch. My hunch is that people tend to listen to the voices that they are more attracted to, or that they're more likely to be attracted to sexually, sensually, even if that's not what they're here
Subconscious dimension for it?
Yeah, thank you.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I would disagree
with
that.
It's a hunch.
I'm just saying.
I would like to see it borne out, and here's why I'm saying that for myself.
Yeah.
I would not seek out a male masseuse, not because I'm like, I'm afraid I'll go gay because I'm a heterosexual and I'm not as psycho or immature. I know that. I just don't want that.
Right.
I don't seek that. It doesn't mean I want to bang my masseuse, thus it must be a female. It's just something about it. I'm repulsed, not meaning gross, I'm going to puke, but literally pushed away from the males doing that. It's the same with ASMR. Now, here's a little bit of a confession, okay? And I know we're running short of time. I actually had a fight with my loving, wonderful, amazing wife over ASMR.
Oh, dear.
Because we share a YouTube account, and she saw this same female.
It's another.
It's not Maria. It's a GB is her name. She does a lot of, like, sleep clinic role play stuff.
Yeah.
Where Kate kept seeing this come up, and she was like, who is this bitch who's coming up on this? Because she's not familiar with ASMR.
Right.
She's like, what is this? And I explained it, and what she's hearing, she said, so there's a girl whispering in your ear, and you're going to act like that's okay.
Oh,
and it was a difficult conversation because she is lovely, this girl who's doing it. She's not my wife, but she's attractive, you know, and she's a young woman and whatever. She's a brunette, etc. So, no, I'm not aroused by this girl. However, there's a strange line where it's like, right, but I wouldn't want like a grotesque lady over her in a snap decision, or a dude at all.
Right.
So there's this weird, difficult-to-explain interplay.
But you have to remember that some people are just going to be turned on by things, whether that's the intention or not.
But the reverse is also true, that there are some things that might seem arousing that someone's like, that's not what I'm into.
Well, one thing you can explain is, in that study, what they talked about was one scientist in that study had a theory that one of the reasons we find these videos and the sound to be calming is because it may remind us of being in the womb. So really, you should let Kate know it's more
she's
of
being a
mother.
That's exactly the point.
Yes.
Or you could have her record her voice, and then you could go to sleep listening to her voice.
Or if any of the listeners out there would like to try to see if you can be more sonorous and relaxing than any of us or my wife, give it a shot. I challenge you, in fact. Send your own ASMR
Send your clip in.
Attempts to thewhiparound@gmail.com or Facebook.
Or post them on our Facebook page.
Or Twitter, or pictures of you doing it on
or
Instagram.
Or do a video and post it to the page.
You could reach peak narcissist and just record yourself and listen to yourself while you're going to sleep.
That's where this is ending. That's where this is actually going. I won't say that I've never fallen asleep to the whiparound before. And it wasn't.
I hope you don't, listeners. I hope you find it interesting enough not to fall asleep.
It wasn't during What Made Dave Angry This Week. I'll tell you that. All right. So there's so much more to say about this. We're going to have to return to this subject.
I know.
But we're trying to be tight this week.
Yeah,
so,
man.
Hey.
All for you out there. All for you, citizens. So
if you've got comments, send them in.
We want to hear them. We want to see them. We want to listen to them.
We'll
softly
say that we'll respond on air if they're awesome.
We'll be right back, though, for Act 3, y'all.
If you like what you're hearing, you can find us on iTunes at The Whip Around. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe for more great content. Thanks.
Merrily and crazily, we move along in the micro edition of the Whip Around. Next week, we are, of course, back to standard format. We probably will be going a little bit shorter than our episodes have been going. You'll see. We're getting compact and efficient around here. So do take this opportunity. Share the show with your friends, the micro edition. It's very easily passed around.
And they'll still get the flavor.
Yeah, every little bit that we
do. But half the calories.
That's true. It's like Whip Around Zero. Right? It's no guilt. All fun. Yes, share the episode, but for now, it is time for 3 for the Road, that part of the show where we didn't have time to talk about anything really during this show that wasn't directly involved with ASMR, so we get 3 shots each, 30 seconds apiece. Once we hit that time, you'll hear something that sounds a lot like this.
Thanks.
Heavens to Betsy. And then it is time for the next person to go. We do that 3 times, and then that is the show. Micro edition. Show's over after that. So I'm going to go last. Phil's going to go first. Who knows when Jill's going to go.
But probably in between.
But Phil, are you ready?
Pretty much.
Phil, are you set?
I think so.
Phil, you go!
Okay, adding on to the science segment, China's Sharp Eyes Project is putting facial recognition tech to work already, identifying jaywalkers, doling out precise amounts of toilet paper, airport bathrooms, and keeping track of who associates with who to give them sort of a trustworthiness score. It's a Black Mirror episode come to life, but you know what? The FBI and some large U.S. cities have been doing this too. So facial recognition technology is on the way for better or for worse, so we better learn about it and do something about it before it's too late.
No, thank you. I need a whole roll sometimes. So if you haven't yet watched Childish Gambino's This Is America, you really need to. He debuted it on Saturday Night Live this past weekend. That is Donald Glover, for those of you who are unfamiliar with his stage name, performing name. It's really powerful. And a lot of people kind of throw that around. But it's really well done. And it's just layers upon layers. And definitely get out there and watch it, please.
Alas, alack, alas, there is no secret tunnel room or treasure chamber hiding behind King Tut's burial area in his pyramid. Nicolas Cage could still be in a movie about all this fun alternate history stuff, but alas, an Italian archaeology team used state-of-the-art radar equipment to scan for hidden areas past the tomb and came up with nada. It was thought for a while that friend of the pod, Queen Nefertiti's still missing tomb, might be behind her son's resting place, but girl is still at large. Again, Nefertiti, call me, we'll put you on the show.
Okay, Mars InSight Lander is on its way to the red planet. It'll get there on November 26th of this year. What is it going to do? It's going to study Mars's geological activity. Why? Since Mars and Earth were formed at about the same time, generally speaking, the more we learn about Mars, the more we learn about our planet. So the answers, Earth being our planet. Thank you for specifying in case you weren't sure. You got it right, Sean. Way to go. So in case you didn't know, the answers are out there about Earth. The answers are out there in space!
Yes! We got a micro episode in space! Joey, you're on the clock!
So, if you do not fancy ASMR, but you still want to be relaxed into falling asleep, there is a website called napflix.tv.
Oh,
that's
clever.
Napflix, FLIX.tv. And they have great videos for you to watch, like Domino Day, Matthew McConaughey watching Rain, crossword puzzle tournament.
I see Matthew Modine watching.
Bob right Ross, now. Of course, the World Chess Final of 2013.
All right, Bath Township, Michigan Police, what the fuck are you doing? In an effort to do something to appeal to the community and the youth, the Bath Township Police in Michigan put out an image of a squad car wherein police was replaced with gigantic letters spelling out Popo, P-O-P-O, Popo. They hit with some awesome hashtags, like hashtag, how do you do, fellow kids? But Jesus Christ, this isn't the time or place for fucking jokes. Rule of thumb, cops, the person with the gun is never going to be the one who tells a good joke, all right? Person with the gun doesn't tell the joke.
What I really need is a protocol droid that understands the binary language of moisture evaporators. Why am I asking for one of these? Because zero.
I've gone full nerd.
Yeah, I've gone full Uncle Owen. I'll be a charred remain by the end of the episode. Zero Mass Water is actually trying out moisture farming in Australia. All solar powered units. I don't know if everybody realizes just how serious a problem drought and lack of access to clean drinking water is across the globe. But we're trying these self contained moisture evaporators, basically. So give me my astromech droid. We're in the future.
Okay, so I'm just going to read you this byline, and then I'm going to read you a little bit more. The mystery of who was pooping on the football field at a high school has been solved after the alleged culprit was revealed to be a superintendent.
The big man.
They kept finding human feces on or near the area of the high school track on a daily basis. Apparently, he was going running, like, early in the morning, and I don't know, just had to go. Like, dude, one, you're superintendent. Just find a better spot.
Blame the principal.
Dig a hole, man.
He's the pooper intendant.
I got some extra time there, Phil. I got some extra time.
Oh, use it. Wait, hold on.
You just cut me short.
Another 10 seconds.
I started it.
Let it go. Take another 10 seconds.
I'm done.
Oh, what a burn. Now, look. Am I on the clock?
Yeah.
Look. This came up again on one of my favorite podcasts out there this past week, and so I must respond. A, I love Sex and Violence Podcast with Gabe Mara and Ryan Snyder, both friends of the pod. They're awesome.
Hey, boys.
We must have them back soon, but their show featured what felt like an open question about Shakespeare writing the plays attributed to Shakespeare. And, period, he, period, did, period. Folks, his name is on the quartos. It's on the fellow actors Hemmings and Condell name-dropped him on their reproduction of his work back when they did the folio of 1623, contemporary writer and publisher of his own complete works, Ben Johnson, name-dropped the dude in print. There's insufficient reason to think all these people and more pulled some kind of conspiracy,
yes.
Damn it! Nick Cage, get out of here!
Millie Vanilli.
Millie Vanilli wrote all the music that Mozart wrote, as we all know.
Clearly.
Well,
what a doozy.
That is how you do a whip around micro edition. There is very little time to spare, so I'm going to say that we have had a great time.
That was fun, guys.
I won't speak for the other two, but
you can speak for me.
Let's all sign off here a little bit. Unless, Jill, do you have an idea about how we could send this off a little bit micro-y special?
I do, just softly.
So, first of all, hi.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Sean.
I'm Phil. Oh, we should have discussed that.
They're ill. It's not sexual.
Oh, I have those symptoms too. Oh my goodness. I get
mass relaxing hysteria.
Dogs and cats chilling together.